in the studio with the Blue Testament crew here for another episode of Shades of Blue. And I know our intro music is all too real for many of you this week after Sporting Kansas City is shut out on Sunday's home opener 2-0 by New York City FC. And it was just the third home opener loss in club history. That is not something we are used to at all around here.
And hopefully, Cody, that's not something that we are going to have to get used to here as the season gets going.
All right, let's do a bit of a roll call here. My name is Cody Bradley.
I'm Allie Trost.
Robert Russert.
Thad Bell.
Okay, we're going to do, we got a basic layout of a podcast for you. We're going to recap the game on Sunday, and then we're going to talk about maybe some possible changes. I know the ideas were flying in the Twitter sphere. And then we'll, of course, recap the Chicago game. All right, so who has something they want to get off their chest? Anything we should dive into immediately? First things from New York City game.
Oh, the hate, folks. Come on. It's one game. But no, I think there's some people being unfairly criticized, Cody. Christian Lobato comes to mind. He didn't have a great game. Who did? But he's being unfairly criticized, I believe, for too many things and being out of position, which I don't think he was that often. You know, if you want to look at the two goals, he's certainly not the main culprit.
I know, and I agree that he's got the defensive play of the season so far. Don't forget about that one.
Exactly, yeah. But let's not talk about the free kick that led to that mess. But anyway, more on Lobato.
Well, and that was one of the questions somebody tweeted at me earlier today, was that, tell me why Lobato is good.
Well, like I said, I don't think he was terribly good, but he was certainly not the culprit in any situations. I hate to rat him out a bit, but MLS Defender of the Year, in my mind, Aiko Parra was to blame most for both goals.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that, like you said, while Lobato didn't play his best game, and also, as you said, I wouldn't say anyone in particular stood out as like having their best game ever, but anything that made Lobato look bad was a direct result of players being out of position, like you said, Opara, and players not, you know, getting back and doing their part to prevent two very preventable goals.
Yeah, it was clear to me that we have a bunch of new players and that there's going to take some time for everyone to gel.
Well, one of the strengths of this team has always been that they defend from the front. Everybody has to work together. Everybody steps at the same time. They know when to go together. Just as a random thing today, I went through the game a little bit, just like picking a few moments here and there, watching New York counterattack. And each time it was Diego and Roger stepping towards somebody, Crozet being a second late stepping towards somebody. And that once that line's broken, that's the whole thing about sporting strength is everybody steps together, goes the right way. You force bad passes. You make it easier on Beisler, Opara, Ilya, somebody else to cover and recover from there. People weren't doing that. And I just pointed out Crozet, but Johnny Russell wasn't doing that quick enough in the first half. He stepped it up a little bit in the second half. And Diego's caught a lot of crap in the media or the Twitter and social media. But he was doing a lot of that, too. He just isn't as fast or as a pesky little gnat that Dom is. So,
yeah, I mean, you got to keep a couple of things in mind as well, too, that our way we attack, our wingbacks get up the field, and we're essentially defending with three, Ilya, Beisler, and Opara. And you can't read that as people being out of position when the other team gets the ball. They're simply attacking the way they're supposed to be. We have to shut that ball down quicker, and they exploited, New York City FC did, a lot of the space behind Rubio, behind where Crozet could have been. And I don't think Roger and Felipe were terribly organized together either. Because, you know, notice Vermees keeps talking about two attacking midfielders. Well, where is that balance of that shield in front of Ilya? That space is really where NYCFC made their living, I thought.
And yeah, that's one of the things that definitely will take some more time, though, I think. Gutierrez and Espinoza, which, by the way, I'm going to stop calling him Felipe. He was calling him Felipe because somebody said that that's what he was going to have on the back of his jersey.
Yeah.
I asked about that the other night, and they said Bukati had that wrong.
Well, as you see, Gerso went back to Gerso Fernandez, so he's just going by Gerso either.
It's G Fernandez, right? I think
did it say
looked,
G Fernandez?
It looks like a really long name on the back.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things I do think will take a little time for them to completely gel right there.
Oh, yeah,
but,
for sure.
At the same time, I also think that using the we have a lot of new players as an excuse is a bunch of crap, because I went through New York and they had three new players on their squad that were starting. We Sporting had three new players. Diego, you could say, is still a little bit of a new player because he hasn't had a lot of playing time. Lobato, you could say he's a little bit of a new player not a spot that he's played. He has played in the past, but New York had three players brand new to the league, their first MLS game, and they chewed Sporting up in the first half.
Well, perhaps their game plan was better.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't want that to be the narrative of the season, is Sporting KC had a lot of new players, and that was their season.
Yeah, and Bob, you brought up too much space, and I think on that first goal, it was very clear that the one player you don't want to leave any space had a little too much space there. There was a triangle that Villa fell into the middle of. All of them probably should have covered a little more, but you are right, it does look like Ike failed in shutting him down a little bit.
Yeah, which, I'm sorry, go ahead, Allie.
I don't know if it was a triangle. There were like five players that all could have made a step. You know, maybe it would have been a player that wouldn't have necessarily been his step, but there was enough, you know, black around the one blue where someone could have stepped and at least, you know, try to deflect that cross or something.
If I'm Ike Opar and I see David Villa standing alone at the top of the box, I'm up his backside.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give him that space. And once he didn't do that, Beasler kind of panicked, I think, and said, uh-oh, I've got to cover Opara, which left Lobato with two people to cover, and that's just not going
to
help.
You know, and then what's Lobato to do?
Yeah.
It all comes back to, you know, poor Lobato is getting flamed on Twitter here, but it's like, he can't clone himself. One of him and two of them, so.
Now, and one thing about Lobato, too, somebody asked in the Twitter about why is he good. He did have that play of the game, that save, right before the half. So I'm not going to say that makes him the best left back we have ever had, but that gives him at least a little bit of a pass. He saved one goal.
He saved one.
Even if you give him some blame for the other goals, he saved one goal.
And not just a goal, a breakaway. You know, it was like a 2 or 3 v.
It was spectacular.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that really was.
And, you know, a lot of people are giving Zuzi a bit of grief for not having a great game. Well, I mean, Lobato didn't do a whole lot offensively either, but there wasn't a whole lot of offense going on.
Well, and I think, too, with Zuzi, he's over there with Croizet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that they just need to figure it out between the two of them. I think that the only reason Zuzi looked bad, or a big part of why he didn't look as good as he usually does, is because of who he's playing with on that side.
We'll probably cover that in depth later.
I'll also take some blame on that first goal, because about 5 minutes before the goal, I was screaming, who the hell is this 5-2 player that is running out on the field right now? And then a couple touches later, he'd smash it in the back of the net. So.
Yeah, you should not be making fun of anybody's height. Right, Allie?
I am 5'2", and you know what?
You're not an MLS player.
Could be.
All right. Well, how about the second goal? Another question of the defender of the year, perhaps. Got beat pretty bad. It was a clever little flick on or dummy. I don't know if he touched it or not. It would have beat me, but I would think maybe Ike Opara felt he was up the field maybe a little too far and left some defenders stranded.
Yeah, I mean, we need to look ahead of the play to what leads to the goal, and Ike just sells himself completely at midfield after Zuzi had been knocked over. You know, Alpara's got to realize the situation and react to that situation appropriately. And I know that's tough to do in the game, but we were getting countered all game, and this just led to another counter where Ike got duped at midfield, and they were 3v2 on us, Zuzi trying to recover. And then it was Lobato and Beasler with three or four players. And once again, Lobato ended up having to mark two. And maybe he could have hustled back a little bit quicker and cut him off, but he was stranded. So was Beasler.
Yeah, he was put in a tough spot, but there's definitely the he was not running as hard as the man that was blowing past him that he, that he should have put a body in front of him on it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, again, though, when you have two players to cover, you know, maybe he was anticipating the other players getting the ball, so then he's late to the step, and boom, they get a goal. So I think really just unlucky given his circumstances and his position.
It just seemed like everybody all night was just off for some reason. Yeah.
Like, that's how I walked away on Sunday. I was like, why? You know, it wasn't – I was just like, there was just, like, someone could have stepped there. It was just one step behind. There was just – the tempo was not up to what it usually is.
All right, so I always have to, like, play devil's advocate a little bit because I do this with myself. I argue with myself and talk to myself about these things. But so we're being critical of how Sporting played, and justly, rightly, especially in the first half. In the second half, they took over the possession again. They got more shots than New York did. I know they didn't score, but was it because Sporting made some changes and, you know, Vermees yelled them at halftime, or was it because New York had the lead and they just pulled back a tiny little bit, or some combination thereof? They did look better. Russell seemed to switch over to the right side instead of the left. That seemed to work a little better. Zusi and him worked a little better than Quaze and him did, and Gerso coming in, Chaloui coming in. Again, I'm not even blaming Rubio in this, but just, you know, fresh legs. What was the difference in the second half? Was it just New York pulling back, or was it combination of Sporting playing better?
Well, let's back up a little bit, if you don't mind, Thad. First half, we have to give NYCFC a lot of credit because they took what was given them, space in that midfield, and they pressed us and made us work a lot harder than maybe we expected. I just think it was unfortunate that we had to play NYCFC in our first home game with these new players. That's part of it. But I think you're right. It's a combination in that second half. Yeah, after the game is 2-0, you mentally let up. It's just the way, what a visiting team does, you know, to hold on to that lead and just kind of change their play a little bit. But you got to give credit to Chaloui, certainly, for coming in and doing some different things.
Speaking of him coming in, that did kind of answer one of our questions from last week, was with all this versatility, is he going to use these substitutions more? And match day one, he's used all three of them. And I was very happy to see Chaloui coming in. That was good. And he was hungry right away. Again, hungry.
Well, and I mean, I'll stand by my stance that I think Chaloui should be a starter, but the momentum that Chaloui and Gerso bring in coming off the bench, I thought was missing from the front line every minute in the first half. You know, granted, they started and they got down and they just, you know, they're the trying to get all these pieces to work on the field. But Chaloui came in and he played like a starter. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen the next game or on the road if he'll get that starting position. But I think he showed that he deserves it.
Well, that kind of brings us naturally into the next segment here of possible changes. It looks like Vermees has been. Let me pull it up here. Looks like we might be in for some bigger changes than we're used to from Vermees. He says, this was from a quote from yesterday. He says, "I won't say what formations, but there's no doubt with this group that we could play other formations. There is specifically one that I have in mind that we will play at times just because of the quality of player and the versatility we have." And does anyone have any preferred formations that they're looking for out of this?
I'll give my blue hell hot take here. I, after Sunday, you know, was kind of thinking that maybe a 4-4-2 could be in the cards here, with the back line being Zusi, Opara, Beisler, and then either Sinovic or Lobato.
No. You have to make a decision there.
I guess for next game, Sinovic. And I think Beisler, that would make him happy too.
After defending Lobato this whole time.
I know, and I still do.
But it's, they're away, and they might Lobato. Go more defensive, yeah. So that would maybe make some sense.
You know, when you come off a 2-0 loss, you have to, you know, you don't want to be shut out again and have two goals scored against you in the first game. But then it's the next four in the midfield. Ilie is kind of like the back of that, you know, the bottom part of the diamond. Then you got Croise at the top, Gutierrez on a wing, and Espinoza on a wing, and then up top, again, standby Shallowy starting, and then hopefully we can see Shelton out there, because I think Shallowy and Shelton up top, just as strong as they are, seeing that they had a little bit of chemistry in the preseason, I think that could be a goal-scoring duo.
So, Allie, do you mean that diamond playing pretty narrow with our still provided by the wingbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of that. I think we all feel that Crozet is going to succeed. If he's going to succeed, it's going to be in the middle, mm-hmm. because he just doesn't seem to know what to do on that wing. And, yeah.
He looked like there was a magnetic force drawing him there all Sunday, which I just think was also a huge part of some of that breakdown and, again, giving NYCFC that space with him, you know, just kind of having a hard time really adjusting to that wing position. So that opened up some space for NYCFC in the width.
And, you know, I'm going to dog on Crozet a little bit more. I'm sorry, guys. But that chance he had that was very acrobatic, it didn't call for acrobatics. It called for a simple right-footed finish. Okay, I'm going to take that back. Not simple
there you go.
Right-footed finish, but a right-footed finish that would have required just a touch.
Man,
instead of trying to left karate chop the ball and break the back of the net.
That play in
diving
any...
header.
That kind of play in any sport is one of the most difficult things to do. Running at full speed one direction, looking back at the other.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
Come over your shoulder. You know, that's difficult in any of them.
Yeah.
But... yeah, probably could have done a little bit.
His approach was pretty dramatic.
You know, my best advice I got growing up and playing soccer was, it doesn't have to be pretty.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well,
simple touch in the net.
Yeah, I mean, when a ball has space on it, you just need to redirect it. You don't need to, yeah.
But he also might not have known, you know, the keeper could have been right there. He felt he had to get a quick touch on it. I don't know.
He actually had time for a touch.
Well, he did need to get a quick touch on it. But it's just whether or not it was the right foot or not. And you have... Yeah. To criticize that, you got to go back and look at which foot he was actually running on when the ball got to there.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think it's a little bit overdramatic to say should have done something different there.
Yeah.
I've got to argue with Bob once in a while.
But what about that ball at Gutierrez? I mean, he can play some nice balls.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so my problem with Ali's formation is that it leaves out my top player for match day one for Sporting Kansas City, which is Johnny Russell. And I didn't hear that in the lineup. And
she doesn't like him.
There was a lot.
That is not true. I just, you know, I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea to explore, you know, two players who want to. I mean, not saying that Johnny Russell doesn't want to score goals, but I think Johnny Russell serves best as a winger, subbing in for Espinoza, in my opinion, and then having Shallowy, who can cover more ground. I don't know if Russell can cover the amount of ground, and neither can Rubio, that Shallowy and Shelton could cover.
Well, so I have a lineup here, not a formation change, and it kind of hurts me to say it because it puts Espinoza out, but it gets Croizet in the middle. So same back line. I want to give Lobato another shot. And then Ilya, of course, and then Gutierrez scoots back. Roger, Croizet comes into the attacking mid, Gerso goes on the right wing, Russell on the left, and then Shallowy, my guy, as our center forward. He, from the preseason into that first game, the second he came on the field, this dude does not want to be the odd man out of this. It is so clear that he has like a fire lit underneath him. He knows he really has to win this spot, and I want to see more of that on the field as much as I can.
And he wants to win it. That's what we want. We want a player who wants to be out there starting and, like, scoring goals. And it's so obvious that he wants to be that guy.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
There needs to be more audacious shots from this team. Like, we need to test keepers from distance. And he's, you know, even Johnny Russell at one point fell victim to what I think this team always does, which is trying to get – they want to walk the ball into the net. He had a moment there where it looked like he probably had an opening to let one fly – and then took another touch and had it stolen from him. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I think this team has fallen victim to a lot. And that's why it is refreshing to see him just wail on a ball from 30 yards and make everyone go ooh and ah, because it was kind of freaking close.
Hey, I'm not going to argue, man. I like Shallowy, and not sure if I like the exact lineup you would have had out there, but I like Shallowy being in the running for getting a starting spot, probably on the left wing. I still don't like him necessarily at the center forward spot regularly. Coming in this last game, though, he wasn't bad.
Yeah.
He has a little strength that he needs to still gain, I think. He's gotten stronger, but he's just not that strong to be going up against those 6'4" center backs on a regular basis.
That is fair. He doesn't have his man muscles yet. But is that to say that you...
Of course, I don't think Gerso does either, so...
Yeah. He's got the man mustache, though.
He's got a nice mustache.
Is that to say that you want no changes going into next week, Thad?
No, I don't.
Second chances.
Quite honestly, I would probably sit Crozet. Just sit him. Put him on the bench. Depends on how the game goes later on. Bring him in at different spots. Again, a little bit of adjustment period. MLS is different, and some guys are going to be more ready and suited to adapt. I think Johnny Russell is more suited to adapt to that because of playing in the championship, which is a wee bit more physical than some leagues. I think, and the speed where everybody goes at 100 miles an hour, Crozet is probably just not quite used to that. So I think he's a guy who actually needs a little more time to adjust if he's going to be successful.
And we know Peter Vermees is a guy that will not hesitate to sit an expensive player if he's not gutting it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the DPs get the first shot out there, but they may not get the third shot. They might get the second. We'll have to see. But that's what I would do. I would sit Crozet. I'd move Russell to the right. I'd put Shallowy on the left. If Shelton's healthy, then you got to make that decision, whether it's him or Rubio. And I know a lot of people have been down on Rubio. I'm not. I still a little positive on Rubio.
I am too.
I think he had the worst performance of anybody. But
he did. Well, yeah. Did you guys? I don't want to rep the Audi performance index here. But those numbers, man, it was, they compared the two strikers and it was zeros all the way down the list for Rubio, and obviously the exact opposite performance out of.
I think what Shalawi came in and did is his movement off the ball was much better. He wanted the ball in spaces. He showed for spaces. He looked like you said, Ali, that he wanted it out there. I'm not so sold on Gerso's performance. He made that one good run that drew the foul that was eventually called after VAR, thank goodness. But otherwise, he was the typical Gerso. He needs to be more brave. Yeah, he's got speed, and people like speed, but There's much more to a soccer player's game. Exactly, yeah. So I wasn't too terribly sold on Gerso's performance. I think it had to do a lot with it was 2-0. It was near the end of the game and things. But, I think it's also funny how we seem to dog on Crozet, but then we all want to see what he can do in the middle. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
I'm the one that said set him.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not saying put him in the middle. Cause
yeah.
I am still bummed that we never got to see him play the 10 spot in those preseason games that were not streamed. Okay.
He did that first game, right? Wasn't it before?
First two or three.
Yeah.
And I think of course those were, one of them was an amateur team, one was the PDL team, and I forget who the other one was, if he played three or not. But he played at least two or three of those games at the 10 spot. So he didn't have a goal. He did not have an assist, if I remember correctly, in that. If he did, it was only like one assist or something. It wasn't very much against amateur teams or pretty much amateur teams. So I just not sold on him being that great number 10 either, which may be why he's out there and Peter is trying to salvage something out of him at this point, getting him experience in a spot that maybe that's Peter's spot to give him experience at, right? Where it's not going to hurt the team as much as the 10 would, because people would just be running through him. I don't know. I mean, I want to see him in practice. I want to see him do some stuff at practice when I get a chance to see him going up against other guys who I can judge that skill level better. Mm-hmm. See if he makes the nice pass, if he makes that stuff. There's some things that I think that he did this last game that was okay, and there's some things he did that were not okay.
Yeah, I'm not as down on Crozet as everyone else is. I mean, it is clear why everyone would be frustrated. I mean, there are times where, he can't even like settle a ball at his feet. Like he couldn't even accept a pass. But like, that's not worrying. I mean, I'm aware that this man can play the game of soccer. Like, I know that that's something that won't always stay there. He will, and I think it's second-guessing when that pass is going to come from a new teammate and things like that. Sorry, let me phrase it. I hope that that's what it is. I'm not all the way down on him as much as everyone else is. And I just, you know, that opinion is just, oh, he can't do anything. And it's, but we know that he can. He's here for a reason. He's got the pedigree to do something. And I, at some point, we'll get to see more of that.
I think he's got the biggest adaptation that he needs to make coming to a new league and a team that plays a different style than I think he's completely ever been used to. I mean, I'm reading into some things there and having watched his highlights and all that other stuff. He has talent. He has the ability to do some decent things. Guys who come from that league and scored well and played well in MLS. But I just think he's got to adapt, and he needs some time to do that. Johnny Russell comes in. He doesn't need the time to adapt. He does, but, I mean, it's a much shorter time period. I think he got better as the game went on.
It's a good point, Thad, and I agree with you. Vermees, you know, has been saying it's going to take 5 to 10 games for them to figure out what they've got and to figure out how to best work it. But the worry there is, and the thought there is a side needs consistency at some point. And it's just a matter of finding that. The sooner we do find that, the better. I think all happier we will all be. But, you know, they say an off season is tough to recruit players, and especially in MLS with all the TAM and the GAM and everything. But I think the hardest part is really putting those pieces together once you have them. And that's what I think Vermees and staff are going through now. And it's not easy.
I have one final change that we should talk about. And it is, what in the name of Kitman was Tim Melia wearing?
Green?
I was all about the flashy colors, the one bold, solid color. But this off-white and green sleeves was just not at all doing it for me. I was not pleased.
You know, for the St. Patrick's Day game, sure. Fine. Whatever, but...
And maybe if it was white and green, it would have popped a little more, but it was like eggshell. It was off-white and green. I'm not a fan.
I think it was a sickly green, quite honestly, and green. I mean, it wasn't even a off-white. I think it just had a green tint to it.
But yeah, a poor washing job.
Yeah, they needed tide.
It doesn't compliment the black. It doesn't. And that's going to be my fashion take of the week.
There you go. I didn't even think about that. That maybe that is why it looks so bad. Like, I think white would have contrasted it way better.
They get
right?
A team picture before... Does not look good.
Yeah, that's my biggest suggestion to this team, because I know they're all listening right now. Vermees pays attention to everything. Kitman pays attention to everything.
Right.
So that is my one hope is that changes.
And by the way, they're 0-1 on the awesome new black kits.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't start that. Put records on jerseys. I hate that. I'm a KU fan, and the red jerseys that they couldn't wear forever because they were losing.
Well, did anyone else get confused watching the game with NYCFC in light blue and Sporting in black? Maybe that was just me, but I a couple of times got very
my mom
tripped up.
My mom sent me messages. I don't know what's going on. What's going on?
Well, I didn't get confused, but it's just wrong.
It is.
It's just wrong that the team in blue at Sporting, at Children's Mercy Park, is not Sporting. Okay?
I wanted to wear the new jerseys, that's for sure, but it seems at one point in my life, the light team was the home team by standard, of all standards. But now that's changed in the NBA. It's changed in like all these other sports that they're just traded. It doesn't matter. As long as you have two different colored jerseys.
Are you really old enough to be lamenting your youth?
That's the point I'm making. Like, back in my day, it wasn't even that long ago. Like, oh, man.
I am old enough to be lamenting that crap. I'm the cranky old guy.
Let's not expose ages here on this
one. Well, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, folks, after Jimmy Nielsen and the TIFO, everything just went downhill from there. Not that I'm being cynical, but that's kind of how I felt at the end of the night.
So, positives, okay?
Yes, positives.
Okay, so positives. TIFO was great. Jimmy Nielsen was great.
That was lit.
Shallowy was good.
Chaloui was good.
That was the best guest I believe chant opening that I've seen in the Calder for a very long time.
Hey, I saw Tech N9ne at my workplace earlier that day, and Tech N9ne was pretty good.
Tech N9ne was very good.
Yeah.
But Jimmy, I mean, it might have just been a little bit of opening day, but I thought around the whole stadium, the weather kind of played an influence, but right until then, I thought it was very calm and not quite an opening day atmosphere.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Until that happens. So it was good to see everyone kind of wake up.
It's got to be different for Jimmy, though, because he's lived it. He's been the fan. He's been the player that's been lifted up by them doing that sort of thing. So I think he's been the coach that probably has tried to get fans fired up. So he's probably better at it than almost anybody at this point. More meaningful.
All right, other positives, I think Felipe played a good game. I mean, you know, he's been like this since we've seen him. He's just a good player, folks.
Yes, yeah. That is very clear. We talked about Ruby Croizet's miss, but that pass. Oh, my gosh, pass
Sweet.
Was so nice.
Had his free kick that got knocked into the crossbar by the goalkeeper. But I wanted to be a little more aggressive, and I think he'll grow into that as he gets more comfortable, Felipe. And I think we'll see more from him as we go.
Another, are we done with positives? I have a negative.
I have a quick positive. I just think that Russell, I see a lot of promise with him. He got better in the second half, and so hopefully, he continues to get better and then carry that into Chicago.
I liked he was very direct. He got the ball and was positive with each touch. There was that one he, drew a foul at the top of the box. Because he just turned and ran straight at all four defenders until one of them just bundled into him. So yeah, that was he's definitely a positive. He was my player of the match for us.
No, he needs to do it a little bit less when he's on the wing though. There's a few times where he just basically dribbled right into a defender and like, okay, dude, we do have good defenders in MLS. Okay, you can't just go by them.
Yeah. This isn't this isn't grade school ball where you get. Power through people. He's going to have to figure that out, definitely, with utilizing and playing off of Chaloui or Rubio or whoever's up there to make some of those 1-2s and get into the box.
I think he's got the ability, the intelligence, that he will end up working well with whoever's out there on the forward line with him. Mm-hmm. This is maybe just a, impression because I like his nice Scottish accent. I don't know.
He's got a great accent. It's fun to talk to him.
He does.
I think Ilie. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think Ilie had a decent game. Wasn't one of his best, but I think also NYCFC, one of their things is put Ilie under pressure with Felipe and Espinoza's roles kind of, I think, are undefined in some ways right now. And I think opposing teams say if we put pressure on Ilie, we can get them. We can exploit that space in between, in front of Ilie. I think we can have some success. So, I don't know.
I bet those roles are defined. They're just working them out.
Right. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Vermees has their roles defined.
Right. Maybe not defined as a word, but executed properly.
I'm pretty sure there could be a little thesis done on each one of those roles. If they
He keeps mentioning two attacking midfielders. I don't know if he's saying that because you got to take everything any head coach says with a grain of salt. What they're trying to put out there. But
especially
we were not as strong in the midfield defensively as we should have been.
I see him as more as 2-8s than 2-10s.
Yeah.
One, to go into the negatives, we still apparently are never going to score a goal off of a set piece, ever. That was a big question going in for me, and it was like, all right, we got new, Gutierrez taking it, like, let's see what we got, and it was still, there were like four times they couldn't even beat the first defender.
There were a few times we looked a little more dangerous than we did last year. Who was it with Espinosa with that flashing header near post went just wide early in the game?
So I was standing in the Calder right there in front of that, and that was the second corner kick of that series.
Uh-huh.
Of three, right?
And the first one was Gutierrez kicked it straight into the first defender's head, and it went right out for another corner kick.
Yeah.
And Zusi, right in front of him, we all watched him come over, and he was like, I got this one.
Yeah,
And then turned it in for, like, beautiful right off of Roger's head.
Well, if you can make those defenders hurt, man, they'll flinch next time.
And again, that free kick that led to the breakaway at the end of the first half, what went on there, I have no idea. Tried to play it short, and it just was a disaster. So
the next half of that question, though, about will we ever score on a set piece, will we ever get a PK?
Oh, just when you think you had it, they took it out of our hands.
Well, that's a PK in the non-VAR era.
I'm sorry.
In the VAR era, that's not a PK because the ref made the right call.
I will scream it from the mountaintops. That is a penalty kick in VR world, in a non-VR world.
No, the defender got the ball first. Sorry, Cody.
No, got it first?
Yes, he did.
Nope.
No.
Yes, he did.
He definitely
watched the video.
All right, let's walk through this, okay? The ball's coming. Shallowy gets a touch. He gets the first touch.
But then the defender comes through.
Whoa, the defender comes through. He touches the ball after he touches Shallowy's leg.
From behind, might I add.
You just said he got the ball first.
In the box.
Shallowy got the ball first.
He got the ball before he got Shallowy.
Okay, Shallowy doesn't get clipped. Shallowy scores a goal.
I don't think so.
I think it's the right call.
Now, in the flip of that, too, okay, he made the call. He walked over, looked at video for about 2.4 seconds.
Yeah.
Which I think is still inconclusive enough. He only had a chance to maybe look at one angle in that 2.4 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
How long did he?
But I have looked at it numerous times, and it's the right call in my mind.
Are we not living? Is this not akin to the NFL rule of there must be clear and convincing evidence to overturn? Should we not be thinking like that when it comes to VAR?
I think we should absolutely be thinking like
that. I mean, maybe that's not what's written in the rule, but that's the second I saw him look at the screen for 2 seconds and turn around and run back,
right.
Oh, he confirmed what he saw.
So you're saying that he had his mind made up anyway?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I still think, according to video evidence, it is the right call, but
I think he went over there because the VAR said to go take a look, that he had in his mind that he had already made the wrong call.
Yeah.
So he goes over there, goes, oh, yeah, okay. Again,
okay, he could have faked it a little better, I think. He could have, acted like he actually deliberated in that. You know, it was because then, like you said, it looks like he makes a call, realizes he doesn't necessarily make the right call, runs back. Oh, boop.
Yeah.
So this is what happened for me. Shallowy got to the ball first, made a touch, and the defender clatters into him and the side of his shoe happens to graze the ball and barely put it off of its course as he tackles Shallowy down.
I disagree.
The fact that his foot lightly grazes the ball after clattering into him does not protect the fact that he clattered into him after Shallowy got to the ball first.
The defender got the ball, but he got Shallowy's leg first, or simultaneously, in my opinion. I think it was first. And again, I'll have to go back and look again.
I say grazed it. I suppose he got the ball, but that is, man, you guys know what I'm talking about there. It barely took the ball off course.
Yeah.
Well, he only gets possession because Shallowy's on the ground. Like.
Now, the bigger issue here, though, might be, and I was afraid of this, what do you guys think? Ilya stepping up to take the PK kind of made me think, what?
Well, see, I that was a big question in the Calder, and everyone's like,
yeah.
Who the hell is this going
to
be?
Is he trying to be a leader doing that? But
I'm not too secure about that. Ilya seems like the one that would be the most calm, cool, and collected of anyone on the field.
I was thinking Russell, maybe, but...
He might be the most lethal to score it, but is he going to be calm, cool, and collected?
Right.
Yeah, maybe not Russell first game.
Yeah.
I was just happy it wasn't Rubio.
Yeah.
I was.
Right.
And that's not the mindset you want to have about your starting striker.
Well,
but
Rubio wasn't on the field, but yeah.
I forgot that. Scratch that, reverse it.
Because I was watching that really closely.
Daniel
went to the ball. Ilya went over and said, yep, I'm taking the ball from you.
Yeah.
And the look on Daniel's face is like, you took my puppy, man.
But Ilya, in interviews twice with me, has said, I'm not a goal scorer. And I'm like... And you're taking the PK.
PKs aren't goals.
Oh my God, that picture. I wish that people listening could see this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll put that.
We're looking at a picture here of Ilya basically telling Shallowy that, I got this. And Shallowy looking disappointed.
Like stole Shallowy's girlfriend or
something. Well, I see that as he's the veteran telling the young buck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's being a leader. He's being a leader.
Yeah. And that's always one of the weirdest things for me in soccer is that the guy who gets taken down in the box almost never gets to take the PK.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And it's kind of like a unwritten rule.
Because his emotions are too high at the moment.
And they just want somebody who's calm to step up and do it.
Yeah.
I don't know who else I would have had take it. That's the question. I mean, to be honest, Gutierrez.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Russell, Gutierrez.
But yeah. See, all that for me, that's why I was like, that's why I was fine with Ilya stepping up. Because that's what it looked like, at least, was that, you know, there was the moment, like everyone else in the stadium was like, oh, shit,
yeah,
who takes this?
Right, and he just took the lead.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I was like, hey, cool, someone stepped up. He's someone that I trust to be, you know, calm and take care of business. And so I took it in stride.
But going back to VAR, I mean, the second option, you know, second situation, obviously VAR got it right that time. And so.
Yeah, it was right on the edge of the box. So, I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't have been upset if it was called inside the box. But I wasn't upset if it was called just outside. So.
Yeah.
And Gersos said he thought it was outside, too. Mm-hmm. He hadn't seen a replay yet. But
It definitely started outside. It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got that one right.
All right.
Two for two in my mind.
Moving.
And you're just wrong this time, Robert. That's okay.
Hey, guys on MLSsoccer.com agreed with me.
Well, that
actually,
was Andrew
no,
Weeby.
They didn't.
Get out of here.
One of them did,
at
least.
One of
them.
Yeah,
Andrew Weeby.
Okay, right.
Yeah, the guy who never played soccer before agreed with you. The guy who's played soccer before.
He's a Kansas City guy, though.
That doesn't make him right.
I just thought I'd point that out.
He said that because he didn't want to get... He didn't want to get blamed for being a KC homer.
There you go.
That's fine.
Yeah. The guy who played soccer before said that it was a PK.
Definitely a PK without VAR.
I had no idea, Bob, that I was going to get fought on this one. I thought we were all going to be in agreement here.
That'd be boring.
We had to have a balanced podcast.
I believe what I believe, man.
All right, shall we move on to Chicago?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Bob, I believe you have done some research.
Chicago hasn't played a game yet. They're one of the, two or three teams in the league who hasn't. Interesting situation in that, you know, David Akam was kind of their big difference maker last year, playmaker, that provided Nikolic with a lot of his 24 goals. So they still have the Nikolic up front, Nikolic, however you say it, and they still have Schweinsteiger, they still have Dax McCarty. That's three solid players, but the concern seems to be this year, where is that playmaking going to come from? Is their new Serbian recruit, Alexander Katai, going to fill a comp spot or not? So it's their offense that seems to be a concern going in, and that's good news for us. We may go in and play a little more defensively. Like Sinovic may come in for Lobato. Not anything that I think Lobato did wrong, but you know, going on the road, that may be something that we might go to a little more that we're secure with to get a good result, perhaps. You know, hopefully we can go in and do what NYCFC did to us and steal their opening day thunder.
Yeah, I mean, last year, going on the road, this team didn't really seem content to sit back by any means. It looked like they were trying to control the ball wherever.
Right.
But yes, I could see it being a little more defensive.
Conservative,
yes,
maybe?
Yeah, there you go. That's probably a better word.
Yeah.
Just because of the moments, like the lapsed set piece that we had and the breakaway there.
Mm.
The second goal, I think, showed a bit of worry on defense where we might need to keep another guy behind the ball or...
Yeah.
Not have the full team all that far up the field like that. So I could see them being a little more defensive, and this is definitely not. This is definitely going to be another tough matchup, I think.
Well, we've got to also consider that Chicago was third in the Supporter Shield standings last season, so they're no slouches for sure.
Yeah, I'm scared of it. Yeah, I mean, that our coach is saying it might take five games for everyone to figure it out, and you know, we played Supporters Shield runner-up in week one. Now we got the ones finished right behind them.
And mm-hmm.
Again, with a couple world-class players. I mean,
I haven't looked at it, but it seems that the last couple of years, our first road game, we've been pretty successful. I hope that continues.
Well, seemingly the whole first half of the season, we're successful and dominant. So, you know, maybe that's a good sign to break that pattern. You know, Galaxy's been known to be crap all year and then finish strong and sneak in there, so maybe we're breaking this trend of the Sporting flat at the end of the season.
Well, keep in mind, I think as they pointed out, that the last three or four or five MLS Cup champions have not started the season out very well, so.
And that's, a lot of teams don't care about the start, they care about the finish.
Yeah.
It's if you're going for the Supporter Shield, that's one thing, but if you're going for an MLS Cup, what does it matter if you are finding yourself for the first third of the season? It's that middle third and the last third that matters.
Well, what does it matter is that the finish, the playoff, the standings at the end of the season the last however many years, you know, the middle of the pack is separated by 4 points, you know, at tops.
It's also that home playoff game.
And okay. So that's why it matters.
But here's where I'm going to counter that is the last couple years, Sporting had a nice separation between other teams and then lost that separation at the end to end up finishing fifth or sixth. That's where it matters. The first few games doesn't matter, okay? It's that at the end. That's where other teams were surging. Sporting was faltering. So if you can kind of find yourself at the beginning and then do the surge at the end, you make up a lot of ground on those teams who are at that point faltering, Kansas City. So.
Yeah, so what's a matchup we're looking forward to in this?
Well, I think it's got to be
Schweinsteiger and our midfield.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the midfield. Yeah, Schweinsteiger, McCarty against Roger and Felipe and Ilya. We have to have some playmaking abilities too, and be interesting to see who starts up front in my mind. Is it going to be Shelton? Is it going to be Shelley? So that's a question too. But yeah, I think the midfield battle is going to be the crucial one.
We didn't see Thad. You didn't go to training today, right?
Nope.
Missed training. So we didn't see if Shelton is back fully training, right?
Yeah, we did not. He was training at the end of last week, just not fully. Or I mean, he looked like he was mostly training, just not moving as well as he possibly could. So he might be ready for this week.
I get the impression that he would be ready. And I would like to see him go. I would like to see him get the nod, I think, as much as I've been talking about Shallowy.
Another thing as far as Chicago goes, they are starting some younger players, so that could play into our favor as well as they get adjusted to MLS and things too. So we'll see.
Yes, that will...
Let's make them use the excuse they've
right.
Got a lot of new players that don't have MLS experience.
Exactly. I'm sure it's a pretty intense week of training for Sporting Kansas City.
I hope so.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You know, though, there's games that when you see Vermees after the game, he's just livid, but he's under control mostly.
Yeah.
And then there's games that he walks in and he's like, yeah, okay, we lost.
Yeah.
And this was kind of one of those games like, yeah, we lost. It was okay.
I was very surprised by the overall tone and reaction.
His nonchalantness.
But see, I do think he sees it differently than a lot of the fans do.
Sure.
That's why I was asking the question earlier about was Sporting better in the second half or was it New York falling back or some combination?
Well,
right?
And I think for Vermees is that he saw, the first half didn't go that well, but the second half was better. I think for him at least seeing, you know, a progression or progress, I think he planned for the game to go that way. I think he anticipated it. I don't think he walked in thinking that they were for sure going to walk away with a win.
Plus, I think the owners like gave him in the contract a bonus for using all of his subs in a game, so he had already got that out of the way for the year.
Nice. All right. Final thoughts. How about Kai Kamara and that goal?
Yeah, that was pretty sick, that header that he scored. Wow.
Silky smooth, man. And it, despite all of his antics, like, it's hard to not imagine what this team could be with him, you know, at the helm.
Well, you know, Cody, that brings up a point. I believe it was somebody, MLSsoccer.com, Matt Dole or whoever, talked about how we had 24 crosses in the game, and that's not exactly a great game plan for not having someone in the box that's able to put away crosses.
Yes, that's very true. But, you know, that does come from Johnny Russell. Man, that man likes to whip that ball in the box.
He can whip in a nice ball, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and at a certain point, that'll start landing on the head of a good guy.
Hopefully, we get Shelton there, some more size, and we'll see.
One thing with, like, if wanting Shallowy in the middle up there, I don't see him as a header guy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right, yeah.
We've seen Diego put a good header on goal that pretty much went straight at the keeper, but, I mean, it was a good header. We haven't seen too many other people doing it lately, though.
Yeah, I wrote an article early in the offseason, that we are missing that difference maker that scares another team, and I just haven't seen that since Kai Kamara. I'm a big Kai fan, and I know he probably didn't fully want to be here, and so we got rid of him, but nobody's been as dangerous as Kai Kamara in my mind.
He wanted to play in England.
Yeah, Yeah. I think that's the reason we got rid of him, because he didn't want to be here. I think it's the reason we got rid of Dom, because he didn't want to be here. I think it's the reason we got rid of a couple of people, because they didn't want to be here. I think
that has a huge effect on, you know, the team chemistry, on, like, the overall, like, the whole psyche and the mental thing. So, I mean, I got to credit Ramiz there. Even though people were upset when Dom left, if Dom doesn't want to be there and Dom is throwing off, you know, whatever goes on behind closed doors, then maybe it's the right move. So.
Okay, I'm going to argue with you again here, Bob. I mean, I don't want to be, like, always arguing with you, but I see a distinction between Kai didn't want to be here versus he wanted to play in a better league.
But that's always been Peter's philosophy. If someone doesn't want to be here and not committed to being here, you know, that's team first. It's a big principle. Yeah.
I completely agree with that. But when he first went to Norwich first, that was a deal they made. He went on loan, and they brought him back.
Yeah.
And he was fine with being back.
Yeah.
Then Middlesbrough came calling and offered some money, and they sold him.
Right.
And he, again, wanted another opportunity. But it wasn't that he didn't want to be here. I've actually talked to the guy about whether or not he wanted to be here, and he was fine with being here. Mm. But if he had a shot over there, he wanted to take that. So once they sold him, they weren't going to spend a lot of money to get him back, because that would have been kind of counterproductive at that point. And you never knew how he was going to come back and succeed. So when he came back, it was a different story. But it wasn't that I just want to get out of Kansas City. His wife's from Kansas City.
I didn't mean to that extent. But I just see a pattern here of these scorers and best finishers that we have on our team not staying with the team for long. And I mean, the C.J. Sapongs, the Omar Bravos, the I know. I mean, just all these guys who've had the success outside of our team, who maybe could have been those difference makers for us. We just haven't had one, in my mind.
Well, and to kind of go off that a little bit, but in a different direction, talking about those difference makers, and you know, aside from like Ilya and like Beisler and those guys who have like their anchored down position, like those will never change.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about the versatility of a lot of these players, but what about Rubio? Is Rubio, you know, striker, is that his position? Or could he work elsewhere on the field? Like, do we...
Bench? Oh, sorry.
For Rubio, I don't actually see him in another spot. I mean, I like Diego, but there are players who can play a lot of different spots, and I really don't know where else he would play. I don't see him as a winger, because the speed isn't there.
What I was kind of thinking about. I just, you know, because, like, unfortunately, you know, as we look at the season going forward, and we know that these strikers, we got Shallowy, Shelton, Rubio, all kind of competing for that spot. You know, if Rubio's not producing, then, like, that is his next spot. Like you said, Bob, is the bench. So it's just kind of, you know, explore that lineup and, you know, starters and what that looks like and the subs in, you know.
It's good that they're all fighting for a spot. Yeah. Competition will be nice.
Hopefully. Give the fans some of those goals that everyone is so desperately looking for, as well as the team.
Man, that was the being shut out in the home opener is exactly what they did not want. And I'm not on that board of, oh, God, we're never going to score a goal. I mean, I'm with Vermees on that. It wasn't all bad. New York City was very good.
Yes.
But, damn it, that is not what they wanted.
Well, exactly. I will say, my prediction was 2-0, but just not for the right team.
Not for the right team. All right, last words. We're approaching an hour here. That was kind of our goal. Thad?
I'm thinking.
Say something prophetic.
Sporting will win a game at some point.
There we go. Optimism is what you get on the Shades of Blue podcast. We will be back again next week. We're going to try to do this regularly, maybe on Tuesdays. Hopefully every Wednesday you'll get a new pod from us. So keep a lookout for that. Send us your questions next week after the game, what we need to discuss. And we'll see you next week. Give me beer or whiskey, why not you? Anything to shake.